On this week's episode, I talked to Dominique, the CEO of Farm Unique. She's a Floridian who loves backyard gardening. She has grown her following on social media, sharing how she has learned and utilized those tips to create the garden of her dreams. Now, she's sharing tips on this episode about how to get started, whether you have a home with a backyard or live in an apartment, how she volunteers in her local community to ensure that the youth understand where and how things grow, and understanding how to cook for prosperity, especially ahead of the new year. And always remembering your roots. This is just something that Dominique is all about, and I'm happy to share it with you. Dominique, thank you so much for joining me on the Beauty and Recreation Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I would love for you to tell people, you know, who you are and what you do.
So I am a backyard gardener. I'm a Black woman, a daughter, a wife, a sister, a friend, a godmom. But most importantly, I think my greatest accomplishment is being a gardener right now. So I am a gardener. And I'm a Floridian. I'm a Florida girl who frolics around in her garden. So that's the basics of who I am.
So, okay, tell me how you got into gardening. Like, where did this all come from?
So I like to say my ancestors led me to gardening. We were in the pandemic, and I was doing these led meditations where it was, imagine where you are. Imagine you're in a room. Imagine where you work. And every time I would close my eyes and imagine things, I was walking around and all I saw was greenery, right? And so I'm like, huh, I keep seeing this greenery. So I had invested in some houseplants. I was like, I'm going to take care of these houseplants. And I kept having these visions or these dreams. And I said, you know, I really think it's gardening, which is random, but I think that's what it is. And so I jumped headfirst into it. I bought books. I started researching. I started following a ton of gardeners on the internet, on social media, Instagram, TikTok. And I dove headfirst. My husband and I were living in a townhome at the time. And so I told my husband, I'm like, when we buy another house, I want a big backyard because I want a garden. He was like, okay. And that's what led me to gardening. That's kind of like the short condensed version of how I landed up gardening.
No, I love it. I want to like take a step back to having a space that doesn't have a lot of land to having a space that does have land that allows you to actually do this.
Yes.
Like, what does that really mean to you to have that space?
Oh my gosh. It means so much because it came in the middle of the pandemic. And the pandemic was very hard on a lot of people. But for us, because we had a townhome, and we were able to sell it and profit, we were able to buy a home that was not what we thought we were going to be able to afford. But because we had that property before and then we were able to purchase something new, I walk around out here sometimes and I'm like, I am more than blessed. More than blessed. Yeah. I'm living my parents' wildest dreams. This is what they worked hard for us to be able to afford something like this. And I know my ancestors are like, yes, take care of that land that you have. It's not a lot. It's not huge, but it's a big enough space. Yes, it's a big enough space. And I try to do my best to honor this area, to honor this space and this walk in this garden. And I just come out here and I just stand and I look around sometimes. I'm like, I cannot believe my hands did this. Like, I tell myself that all the time. I can't believe my hands. I put my hands in soil and I grew this in a backyard. And so it means a lot to me and I'm ever grateful and I always try to remain grateful and thankful for my blessings in this space.
I love that. So did your mom garden when you were younger?
So no, she didn't garden when I was younger, but she tells me all the time about how when she was very young that everyone in the neighborhood grew their own stuff, their own collard greens, their own green beans, tomatoes. So I think growing up in the 90s, a lot of our parents kind of were working hard, trying to, you know, get us through school. So she didn't have the ability and the time to garden, but she did when she was very young.
What's your favorite thing to grow?
collard greens.
Why?
That's my favorite thing. Because I can, so my garden over, my bedroom overlooks my garden, and I look out there and I just see those leaves on those collards. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's just there. It's the best thing I've been able to grow. Like, I don't know what the magic trick I had was. I have videos about how I grew them, but they grow so huge. The leaves are like bigger than my entire face when I hold them up. And I just love growing them. And then when I cook them and they taste like none other, it's my favorite thing to grow by far. And I've given them to my family. They're like, we never had greens that taste that good. I'm like,
really?
I grew them from these. Yes. I grew them from these. So yes, that's my favorite thing to grow, collard greens for sure.
Okay, so I know you went to FAMU.
Yes.
But what did you study when you were at FAMU?
I actually studied pharmacy. I'm a pharmacist by trade. And so it's always interesting because growing up as a child, I was very big into the sciences and the math. That's what I was, a science math kid. And I think once you start to get a little older, especially those of us that are in the STEM fields, you need a bit of a creative outlet or an outlet that's not as rigid. Math and science can be very rigid. And so I think it makes perfect sense that I'm gardening and growing herbs, especially being a pharmacist. So, yes, I'm a pharmacist. And I think people think I put farm as like a play on farm. But actually, it's farm based as a play on pharmacy. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yes. Most people do. Most people do. But, yes, I am a pharmacist, a legal drug dealer by trade.
So do you plan to, you know, maybe one day take Farm Unique and turn it into a gardening brand, offer seeds, or like, do you go to the farmer's market at all and sell your stuff?
So what I want Farm Unique to be is an educational resource for people. I want to teach people how to grow their own food. And so that's the vision that I have for Farm Unique, is teaching people how to grow their own food, how to grow different herbs. And then I do have a vision of me growing herbs that are rare and maybe cultivating my own herbal tea blends and herbal medicine. As a pharmacist, I really want to bridge the alternative medicine world with the Western medicine world and be able to grow healing different herbs and kind of teaching people about that. So I've got a couple different directions I want to see Farm Unique grow in.
Couple, you've got plenty of directions you could go into.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. So I saw something like zones, and I had never noticed this, but like, what is a zone in relation to gardening? I guess so, a backyard gardener.
Yes. So the hardiness zones, they were developed in like the 1920s. And it's basically a map that is talking about the winter and how hardy the environment will be for your plant to grow. So gardeners are always looking for the right variety of plant to grow in their area. So if you have a very brutal winter, you're going to look for plants that are more winter hardy. And so the hardiness zones, when you look at the map, you start at the top of the United States and you kind of flow down. So the top is like zone one, zone two. As you move down, it gets warmer and warmer. And so when you get to those high zones, like 8, 9, and 10, 8, 9, and 10 are the warm subtropical zones. And then you get down further. And so it just is talking about the winter and how a plant will thrive in that environment. So that's what the hardiness zone. And I always tell people, I liken it to this. You know how Black women in our hair typing system, there's some women who love it, right? Because it helps us identify our hair type. But just because you have
products that go with it.
And the products that go with it. But just because you have 4C hair, your 4C hair may behave differently than mine. But we are in the same category. And that's what the zone is. So you could be living in zone 9B like me. But you might be in California, so it may be a little bit more dry. So the zone is a good general basis, but you do have to learn your, I think they call it microclimate in the area that you're in. So you may be in the same zone as me, but it may be more dry or more wet. But our winters are going to be similar. So we're not going to drop into very low winter temperatures. So we can grow things a lot longer than gardeners that are in the zones like 1, 2, and 3. So that's like what the hardiness zone is.
Oh, wow. So you can get away with growing summer vegetables through the fall because the weather is warmer. Maybe your soil is very different.
Yes. Interesting. And so, like, I have peppers growing, and I got some here that I picked, some peppers that I just picked out the garden. Usually this time of year, a lot of gardeners that are in, like, let's say zone 5, 6, 7, they've already had a frost. And peppers don't do well in the cold. And tomatoes don't do well in the cold. I had tomatoes growing, peppers growing. So I can grow, my grow season is a lot longer than the gardeners that are in the higher zones or higher up on the map zones.
Hold on. So what are you growing right now?
Ooh, okay. So I've got peppers growing. I'm growing a soursop tree, which if you're from the Caribbean, you might have be familiar with soursop. It has a lot of healing properties. I have a bunch of lemongrass. You can see it right here behind me. I've got collard greens, of course, growing. Something interesting that I'm growing is loofah. And so if you've ever washed your body with a loofah, those grow on a vine, like the natural one. So it's behind me. You can't really see it, but I have really big loofahs. They dry on the vine. You peel the skin. I have some videos on it. You cut it up and you can use it like as a sponge on your body or to wash your dishes. So that's what's growing. I have onions. I'm getting ready to plant some garlic. And I'm going to be planting like probably like 20 more collard green plants. And that's going to be my fall. And cabbage. That's going to be like my fall gardening. Yes, I have a ton of stuff growing.
Oh, so you're ready for the holiday season and eating and feasting?
Semi-ready. Okay. I told everybody, I'm like, look, we might not be able to eat a big pot of collard greens for Thanksgiving, but on New Year's, I got y'all. Everybody gonna bring in their good luck with my collard greens. So I should have a bunch of collard greens ready for the New Year's, where a lot of people here in the South cook collard greens as good luck for the New Year. So that's when I plan to give out collard greens to friends and family. But yes, I'm definitely ready for the fall season soups and stuff. Oh, I also have carrots and beans growing. I can't wait to put those into a soup. Oh,
what kind of beans?
So I have bush beans, green beans. So they're going to be your regular green beans that are growing. And I think I have some purple beans that when you cook them, they turn green. So they're right here beside me as well. You can't quite see them. Wow. But yes, I have those growing too. Yes.
Oh, this is so amazing.
Yes.
You've been doing this for a bit. You have this huge garden. I'm curious, as someone who's always in the sun.
Oh, yes.
She's like, oh, yeah. As someone who's always in the sun, what do you do for your skin? Like, do you wear sunscreen? Do you?
Yes.
I'm like, at this point, I'm like, do you grow your sunscreen?
I wish. No, I definitely wear sunscreen. And I wear Super Gloop. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they have a white container and yellow top, Super Goop. And I wear at least SPF 45. If I can find higher, I wear that. I wear it on my face every single day. And I have sunscreen that I wear on my body. And I don't, that's the first thing I do. After I brush my teeth, get out the shower, wash my face, I'm putting sunscreen on. And I have a spray sunscreen. When I come outside, I spray it. And it's also by Super Goop. I spray that down. I keep myself drenched in sunscreen because, like you said, although, you know, melanated, I don't want my melanin to crack, okay? So I got to keep that sunscreen on. Make sure I keep my youthful appearance.
Yes. And then, like, do you think the sun is contributing to, like, this acne-less face of yours?
Well, I've been
really blessed. Or is it the food?
I think it's the food, the water. I mind my business. I stay out of other people's business, okay? The garden keeps my stress level down, so it helps with my skin. But I'm really serious about my skincare regimen. Like, I use very affordable stuff, but I'm very serious about it. So every night, I'm taking about 20 minutes to put my skincare on at night. I go to bed looking like a glazed donut, okay, with all my skincare on every night. I do not miss a night. And then in the morning, I'm really good at, you know, putting my sunscreen on. I really think that helps keep my skin good. And I try to drink as much water as I possibly can. And I notice, like, you know, my skin loves me for it. And I thank the genetics of my mother, too. So I'm like, you know, mommy, thank you for the genetics. Daddy, thank you. I think all of it just gets married together, and, you know, here we are.
So do you have any tips for people who are like, oh, I don't really, like, get my hands dirty, or, oh, you know, my nails, and, like, what's your whole thing? Like, let that go and start?
Well, no, I'm a nail girly, and I think people find that interesting. I'm like, no, one thing about me, I'm going to get my nails done, okay? But I wear garden gloves most of the time. I wear garden gloves, and when I am in my hands, I get those brushes, and I scrub really good under my nails. Every time I come out the garden, I scrub my entire hand and under my nails. So I say, you know, to each his own, right? If you're a nail person, you can still garden, right? This is a short nail set for me. Sometimes I get them a little longer. Plan your garden around your nails, right? So my nail tech, she knows my heavy garden seasons. And so during that time, we'll go nailless. So I'll soak off all the acrylic that I have on or the gel that I have on, and we'll take a nail break. And that's when I'm really hard in the dirt. And then once everything is planted and transplanted outside, then I can kind of go back to my nail sets. But in between that, I wear gloves. And sometimes I run out and I dig around a little bit without my gloves on. I just really scrub under my nails and over my nails really good. So that's no excuses. If you follow some of the black women who garden, like, on the internet, a lot of us are nail people. Like, we are black girls through and through. Now we're going to get our nails done. And all of us probably are doing the same thing, wearing the gloves and or just scrubbing really good on our nails.
I love that you brought this up. And you mentioned a few things, like the hair chart, the curl chart.
Yes.
And comparison with the zones, and then, like, being a nail girl and gardening. And since you're wearing gloves all the time, like, have you ever come across a moment where you've gotten sick while gardening? You know, maybe a bug has bitten you. You hear all those things, like Lyme disease from gardening.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm just curious.
So I have not. Well, I haven't gotten sick, but I have gotten bitten by a spider or a wasp. And yes, my leg swole up. The area on my leg swole up. What I will say about the Lyme disease is you have to be very careful. When I'm out gardening, I try to pay attention to which way the wind is blowing. And so if I'm putting soil out or I'm using something that's dry and dusty, I try to make sure I stand in the opposite direction so that it'll blow away from me in the wind. And I don't think it's a bad idea to even wear a mask when you're messing around with the dusty elements. So that's how I keep from inhaling, because I think the Lyme disease comes from people inhaling certain things, some of the dry mixtures that people use. So I try not to do that. So I'm always looking like, is the wind blowing? Let me, like, take this out away from me so that I'm not breathing it in. That's what I do.
Is rain catching allowed in Florida?
I believe it is. And that's something I'm hoping to get into when we get back into our rainy season. I bought like a rain catcher, and I'm hoping to get into that during the rainy season, because the one thing with gardening in the summer in Florida, when it's really hot, you use so much water. Your water bill is going to go up. And so what I want to do is take that rain catcher and put it out and collect as much rain as I can. But I believe it's allowed in Florida. So
she's like, I'm going to double check.
I'm going to double check just to make sure, because I don't want no issues with the law. No issues with the law.
Please don't come find me.
Yes, please.
Oh, so, okay, we're at the end of the year, and we're getting into 2024. And I think by the time people listen to this, they may have the urge to start something new, and it might be gardening.
Yes.
So, like, what are the top three things that people could garden easily, or kind of like, I'm going to plant it and let it go and come back to it when I remember?
So
In the winter.
Okay. In the winter. I think collard greens are not that hard to grow in the winter.
Really?
They like cold. When they get that little frost on them, they taste even sweeter. I don't think that they're very difficult to grow. You don't have to grow them from seed. You can get the plant start at your local plant nursery. Put them in some soil. You can grow them in grow bags. I have a lot of video of me growing things in grow bags. They're just like these fabric bags. Get some soil, fill it up. Put your collard green plant in there, and you'll be very surprised at how big and luscious it gets. That's something that's very easy. as we go into winter, you can start, if you're going to start seeds, you can start like your tomato and your pepper seeds. And then when that first little bit of spring starts to peek through, you can move them outside and you'll have a good tomato and pepper harvest. And then I also just say, as a general, herbs are so easy to grow. Basil, it's prolific. You put it in the ground and it's going to spread and grow. I had like a tree of basil. It just kept growing. You snip the top off and you cook with it and it'll just keep growing. So I always tell people that are new to starting out to try things like that. Basil as an herb. Cilantro is not that hard to grow either. It likes to be a little bit cooler. So you can start with your herbs or parsley or something like that. And then I would say, like, as a group, collard greens or some type of kale. They're all in the same family, so that's a good set. And then you can do peppers and tomatoes. They're usually the first two things that people want to grow is a pepper and a tomato plant. And I think you can start those in the winter. Peppers take a little bit to grow. You can start it in the winter, and by the spring, you should have a pepper plant growing. You should have little peppers growing.
Wow. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try it. I've never started in the winter. I think I'm in zone five, six.
Maybe? Okay.
Based on what you said, so I'm not in Maine. I'm like middle of the United States. So
yeah, it's probably five, six, seven. Yeah, you're probably around 5, 6, or 7.
Have you considered doing like community service and gardening?
Yes. So I was volunteering at a community farm garden that was in downtown Orlando. They've moved locations since, but I really, it would really feed my soul to be out there gardening. It's in the middle of a food desert, right? So you got what people would consider the projects, or, you know, a building of like Section 8 housing. Right across the street, you know, it's a, you know, black neighborhood downtown. There are no grocery stores very close by. So this farm, they came there, had a plot of land, and they started gardening, and they would feed the community with that, right? Like they were I think it's called a CSA program, where they could take food stamps and very small amounts for the food there. And I loved going there. They just moved location, so I can't wait to get back connected with them.
Yeah.
But I think the community gardens are so important, especially in food deserts, where there's no grocery store nearby. A lot of people, and I learned this when I was out there, that we would see the little black kids come and look over. They wanted to come volunteer. They were like, so that's how things... That's how collard greens grow. Like they grow in the ground. Like I never seen a collard green plant. Like, oh, that's how grapes grow. They grow on a vine. I've never seen grapes grow. And so it was like opening up their eyes to how things grow. Because a lot of people have never seen things growing. They just see them in the grocery store if they have the pleasure of getting to a grocery store. So I love volunteering. I can't wait to get back into it.
Wow. Never had the like wherewithal to place, like not knowing what something looks like from its root, and then seeing the store and then actually seeing it on your plate and understanding like the perspective. And I really appreciate you sharing that, because it's one thing to say, oh, I didn't realize the egg was the chicken, and that the chicken breast was coming from this, or like beef came from this. And like there are people out here, like you say, are in food deserts. They actually don't have any green space to just start. Mm-hmm. They don't have the funds to buy all these things just to start in their apartments and homes, like good lighting in apartments. No, so I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yes,
I think you can get away with much more outside of where you at right now.
Yes. And something I think is important to call out for, I know we talk about affordability, and I really do want to do a little bit more work on that. But one thing I think people might not know is if you do get food stamps, you can buy seeds and live plants on your food stamps. So you can buy like a fruiting tree. So maybe you want to grow an orange tree or something like that. You have to check your local areas, but you should be able to purchase seeds and fruiting plants on your food stamps. So I think it's good to know that. A lot of people don't realize that, but I think it's really good to know that, especially in communities where people, they want to better themselves. They may have a little patch of land somewhere, but you definitely can buy them with your food stamps. Grow your own food.
So how do you get over the intimidation of starting, though?
That's a really good question. You have to be ready to face the fact that not everything you plan is going to grow. And you have to have the patience that that it takes to grow things. I think people, even with my collard greens, people are like, oh, let me get some of those. I'm like, do you know how long it took me to grow that? You got to wait a minute now. Let me replenish. Let some more leaves come up on there now. Y'all want my collard greens. Y'all think they grow like that. Like, it take a little minute now. And so you have to be ready to be patient, because you're not going to plant it today and then harvest it tomorrow. And it teaches you that life lesson about patience. So I would say you have to get over the fact that some stuff is going to, like, you're going to kill some plants. Even the best gardeners, master gardeners, kill some of their crops. They kill some of their plants. It's very common. You will learn, you know, you might try to plant something. Like, for instance, if I tried to plant lettuce in June, I did that. And I was like, now, girl, that lettuce
in Florida
ain't gonna survive. Now, what was you doing? Everything else grew, but that lettuce ain't. Right. I tried to grow Brussels sprouts in the middle of the summer, you know? So it's a learning lesson, right? You have to take the good with the bad. It definitely teaches you those life lessons. Like, some of your stuff is going to die. I think people are so afraid of that. So the advice a lot of gardeners give people starting out is to start small. Don't spend so much money. You might want to start small. I always advise people to, if you have a little bit of outside space, start in grow bags, right? So you only need a bag or two of soil and a couple of seeds or a couple of plant starts. So you get the hang of it, then you can expand out and maybe get something like what I have. But I wouldn't, before you get a knack for it, I wouldn't invest all the money in huge beds and all that soil before you know what you're doing a little bit. Because it can be depressing to waste money if nothing grows. Yeah, so that would be my advice.
Right. I've killed a few plants. I've grown many things, too. I've grown peppers and lavender and basil and salad greens.
Yes.
Which are really easy to grow.
Very easy. That's a very easy thing to grow. People do not realize. And they grow very fast, right?
Very fast. It's like in a week.
Yes, you got your romaine, you got your leaf lettuces, you got the lettuce that bunches, your butterhead lettuce, all of that grows super fast. You put a radish seed in the ground, so you put your lettuce, and then you put a little radish, now you got a whole salad in about 30 days, because radish takes like 30 days to grow. So you got a whole salad right there. If you start your tomatoes a little bit before, got your tomatoes to go in there too. So you can definitely grow a full big bowl of salad lettuce. People can do it.
Have you done cucumbers?
Not yet. Really? I don't know what it is about cucumbers that intimidate me. Something about that plant.
She was just talking about intimidation.
something about a cucumber, just because here's my thing. If you don't grow them right, they can be very bitter. And I have to find the right time to grow them so it's not too hot, so that they don't come out tasting bitter. But I think the reason why I say that is because in a lot of the gardener groups I'm in, the people that get these huge cucumber harvests and they start cutting into them, they're like, it's bitter. It's very bitter. I'm like, oh, no. No, no, no. Let me wait. Let me find a cucumber
that's
ready.
That's one of the ones that'll play you. It's like, oh, it's so huge. It's perfect. And then it'll play you.
That's why I haven't grown it yet. But I'm going to try. I am going to try. But it does kind of give me pause. I'm like, I don't want no bitter cucumbers, though.
So no.
I might just buy those at the farmer's market instead of growing them right now.
Do you have like a flower bed or anything like that? Or yes, like a pollinator?
Yes, I have a flower bed. I grew really tall sunflowers in it, and zinnias and marigolds. I plant marigolds everywhere. So if you go on my page now, you'll see videos of marigolds all over the garden. They're great for pollination. They also help for pest control. And then I have like an in-ground flower bed. I actually just ordered like those really pretty flowers that people put in bouquets. I actually ordered the I think they're called the flower bulbs for them. And I've I'm going to plant those. Yes, I'm going to plant those in my flower bed for the spring. And I'm hoping to get those really beautiful big bouquets that like brides, the type of flowers that brides want to hold at their wedding. So that's what I'm hoping to do this year. But yes, I always try to keep flowers growing. I have like, I have some little zinnias over there. They're, I think they're still surviving and popping up and pollinating, helping helping the bees get a little food and pollinate the rest of my plants. I always grow flowers. I love growing those.
So I want to close with some additional tips.
Yes.
So we went over like the things you should grow. Mm-hmm. But what are some things people should know that maybe you learned along the way that you're like, you should totally know this from the get-go?
What I would say from the get-go, my tip that I would give is to take the free classes offered in your area. So there are different entities that offer free classes that you can take about gardening, and they can give you specifics for gardening in your area. There was a class that I took with a master gardener, and it was free. He gave so many tips, and he also told us places we could go shopping in the garden area, in the Orlando area, where we should go shopping, like local nurseries. I got so much value out of that class, and I learned that all over the nation, there's usually always a free class. Either the library has it, or your local extension office, which is usually connected. Yeah, it's usually connected to a university. And an extension office, they study the agriculture in your area. So they're going to study the native plant life, but they also have a lot of research on gardening in your area, and they offer services. So I tell people, try that first, right? Us on Instagram and TikTok, that's great as well. But yeah, you also want to make sure you're honing into local stuff as well. So I would say that is a really good place to start, and that would be one of my first tips. And then I would say, spend some time after you take your class, really spend some time educating yourself and planning out your garden. One of the main mistakes that I made in the beginning was I grew everything at the same time. And you want to do something called succession planting, so that you're always able to harvest and eat from your garden, right? So if you're going to plant lettuce seeds, 2 or 3 weeks after you plant those, plant more. So by the time you're harvesting those lettuce seeds and eating that, you have more growing. So succession planting, that's something that you should look up if you want to always be harvesting from your garden. That would be a big tip that I would give, something that I did not do my first year gardening. And I had some regrets of that because I had big harvests, but that was it. I had to wait for everything to grow back again. Okay. So that's what I would say. That's like a really big tip that I would suggest to anybody that's getting into gardening.
I thought you were going to say like succession planting, planting.
Yes.
It's like, I have lettuce. I've cropped the lettuce. Now I'm going to put a different vegetable there.
You can, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can. So you can do that. That's called crop rotation, right? And that's something that's good to research, so that you are not, so there are certain crops that are going to deplete nutrients from your oil, from your soil. So for instance, if you have a crop that's going to suck out the nitrogen from your soil, you may want to, after you harvest that crop, plant something like beans there, because beans are going to add nitrogen back to your soil. That's something you should look into too as well, crop rotation. But with that crop rotation, so you plant your lettuce here, now we're going to move it over here and plant some more over here, and you can rotate your crops. There are certain crops where you want to, you definitely want to be careful not to plant certain things after them to make sure, or you want to make sure you're replenishing that soil, because it probably depleted the soil of a lot of stuff. So like corn, very nitrogen heavy, it's going to suck up all that nitrogen out your soil. So you might want to put nitrogen back in your soil, or plant something that's going to add that nitrogen back to your soil. So crop rotation and succession planting, those are like, you know, those are like medium level gardening tips that I think people should know even when they're starting.
Oh, that's perfect. So where can people find you and like watch you garden and learn from you?
Yes. So I am on Instagram at Farm Unique. I am on TikTok at Farm Unique with an underscore. And then I am on YouTube. My YouTube channel is a baby YouTube channel. But I am on YouTube under Farm Unique. And so Farm Unique everywhere is where you can find me. And on YouTube, I do some vlogs. So you get to see my personality while I'm in the garden. And then on Instagram and TikTok, I like to do more educational-based videos. So that's where you can find me. Come follow me and learn how to garden from me.
Thank you so much for sharing like all this wealth of knowledge. I've learned something.
Me too.
And
me too.
I hope everyone else has too. So Dominique, thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on the podcast. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you.